You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Joel chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 24. Reading from the King James Version of Scripture, it says, "And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten up, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." Amen. Just for a few moments in your hearing, I want to come from the subject, reclaiming our time. Reclaiming our time. If you expect God to say anything, can you clap your hands just one more time? In the book, which is called the Bible, the Holy Writ, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, there are two testaments that make up this Bible, which are called the Old and the New Testaments. That word testament means covenant, and a covenant is an agreement between two parties with terms set by the initiating party that are fully accepted by the one entering the agreement. Testament and covenant are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. We call the first section of the Bible the Old Testament because it contains the records of God's interactions with man from creation to the years before the coming of Jesus Christ. The 39 books written before Jesus' coming details life under the old covenant, hence its name after that section. After Jesus came on the scene, he instituted a new covenant, which did away with the old sacrificial system, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 15. The 27 books penned after Jesus' ascension into heaven details God's new covenant with man. However, in order to understand the newness and continued grace that was continually wrought by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the New Testament, we must first understand the impending judgment that God wrought in the Old Testament. And I know that we are a New Testament church, but before we just hang out in the New Testament, what I'm trying to get all of us to understand is we first got to understand why the New Testament was written in the first place. Do I have any witnesses here? There are some things that the Gospels write. There are some things that the epistles write and that the apostles share in the New Testament that they would not have to even share if first the prophets of the Old Testament were not given the words to live by. Do I have any witnesses here? And so this brings us to the text in which we have lifted today. It comes from the book of Joel. Joel, the prophet, is only mentioned in this book that he has written. And he's also mentioned by the Apostle Paul on the day of Pentecost, hundreds of years later, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 16. There is no other information recorded, and because this book is only three chapters long, he is considered to be a part of the minor prophets of the Bible. But pay close attention, he's not minor because of the brevity of his information, but he's only minor because of the shortness of the book. However, this prophet Joel, no matter how minor, how short the book may be, there is major insight and influence given that is necessary for our information and guidance. Are you praying with me? The book of Joel, my brothers and sisters, is a book of judgment, but it is also a book of hope. In this book of Joel, God's people are made to understand that even in the midst of divine judgment, there is always hope if we will seek the Lord. This helps us to understand, and I want to continue on with this sermonic presentation, but we have to know, even in the 21st century church, that we don't just serve a God of love, but we also serve a God who will get with us when we get out of place. Do I have any witnesses here? Some of us are struggling sometimes because we wonder why God will allow us to go through certain things and have to deal with certain things. But can I tell you that there are certain things that we deal with, brothers and sisters? It ain't the enemy. It ain't the devil. It ain't somebody else. But the cause of some of the things that we go through is because of the man or woman that stares back at us in the mirror. And you can look at me funny and you can look at me strange. I know your name is written on the church roll, but I got a question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because a lot of us, we get excited and we get happy and we get joyful about our name being on the church roll, but we negate the fact that we can't live any kind of way. We negate the fact that we can't do whatever we want to do and then put God's stamp of approval on it. But we gotta get back to a place where whatever we're going to do, we need to make sure that the word of God solidifies it for our life. Do I have any witnesses here? And I know the reason why some of you can't say amen is because you are ruled by everything else but the word of God. This is God's church. This is not a social club. This is not your neighborhood block party. But we are to follow the rule and regulation of Jesus Christ. And it can only be found in the word of God. Do I have any witnesses here? This book of Joel, it was written to the people of Israel. It deals with their past, and it deals also with their future. It looks back to the judgment of God on them for their sins. But it also looks forward to a glorious day when they will enjoy the great blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. While this book is written to the Jew, there is something here for all of us as well. Because like Israel, if we're honest about it, we live in a land that is under divine judgment. Do I have any witnesses here? We look at our nation and at our world, and we wonder if there is any hope for the future. We wonder if there is any hope for revival. We wonder if there is any promise for us in these dark days. And I've been sent here to tell you that there is hope. And that there is a revival that will hit not just the church, but that will hit America, that will hit Detroit, that will hit the state of Michigan, and that will ultimately hit the world. But the only way revival will come and the only way we'll be able to reclaim our time is if we abide in him and allow him to abide in us. Do I have any witnesses here? I believe that God has given us everything that we need to redeem and to reclaim our time and everything that we have lost in seasons past and gone. But if we're going to reclaim our time, we first have to understand that there was a problem that we have to reclaim. Joel, the prophet of the Lord, had a message to everyone, those who were most respected and revered, and to those who were considered to just be ordinary people. And this message was written in the aftermath of chapter 1 of Joel, that aftermath of a locust invasion that destroyed every green thing in the nation of Israel. And this was not just a rhetorical problem, but this was a literal problem. Because in that day, the economy at that time in the nation of Israel, specifically the southern kingdom of Judah, was that of an agricultural economy. Agriculture, listen, is the cultivation of land and breeding of animals and plants to provide food, fiber, medicinal plants, and other products to sustain and enhance life. And so the problem is that there was an invasion of locusts, which are bugs whose sole purpose was to obliterate and get rid of the crops and mess up the agriculture in that particular area and region. And so here it is. If the agriculture is messed up, then there's no crops. Then if there are no crops, then there are no food. If there's no food, the people will starve. And if the people will starve, they're eventually going to die. This is indeed a problem. And saints of God, when you look at the world in which we live, we may not be experiencing locusts, but we are experiencing coronavirus. Do I have any witnesses here? And while we're looking at the government and all of these things, I'm not trying to put it on God, but can I tell you that God really does know how to get our attention? Do I have any witnesses here? It was the locusts back in those days that drove the children of Israel back into right place and back into right standing. Every war is not because there's a greedy government, but sometimes war happens because there's an angry God. I know we don't like to hear stuff like that, but sometimes God gets angry. When we do what we want to do, and when we say what we want to say, when we handle his church the way we handle it, because watch this, just because we show up every Sunday don't mean that we're doing God's business. Do I have any witnesses here? Sometimes church work and God's work are not synonymous. Praise the Lord. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Some of this stuff we didn't come up with, and it ain't saving nobody. Do I have any witnesses here? When will we ever get back to the place where we're seeking and saving those who are lost? And catch this, this ain't just no old folky word. This ain't just no seasoned saints word. It's for everybody in the church. All of us have a responsibility to tell of Jesus and him crucified, that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement, I feel good, of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are here. Do I have any witnesses here? Can I get a little bit more volume on the mic, please? A little bit more volume. We got to understand, saints, that some of the problem we deal with is because of self-inflicted nonsense. What is that? Sin. We don't talk a lot about that no more, but I believe for the last 40 years you have had a pastor that has stood flat-footed and declared that God does not honor sin. Praise the Lord in here. Self-inflicted nonsense. They faced devastation, one invasion after another that destroyed what fed them. They faced devastation, and they faced desolation, and then they also faced discipline. And last time I checked, discipline don't come without repercussion.
Last time I checked, discipline does not come without punishment. Do I have any witnesses here? And I know we live in a new age, and you know, I ain't that old. We live in a new age where, well, we don't like to whoop, and we afraid of what the police gonna do. Hey, if you stop chastising your children, the police gonna be right there. Bible says those whom I love are chastened. When God loves you, he doesn't allow you to stay where you are, but he picks you off, and he may punish you, but he does not leave you in punishment. Thanks be unto God, I wouldn't have came back to him the way I have if he hadn't whipped my behind. I wouldn't have came back to him if he hadn't corrected me and got me back on what the old saints call a street called straight, so that I would be a living testimony that the same God that kept me even in the midst of my sin is the same God that'll keep you too.
Problem. Mess with the agriculture and the economy. So they ain't got no money. They ain't got no food. And they're starving. But let's not hold you too long. We see the problem, but we also see a petition. God petitioned and pleaded with the children of Israel through the prophet Joel that if they turn from their wicked and evil ways, he would deliver them from what they were going through. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 from the NIV rendering says, "Even now declares the Lord, return to me, watch this, with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." He says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." God implores the people to get back to a place where they find him necessary. Why you preach this on pastor's anniversary? Because that's all pastor been trying to say for the last 40 years. When will you put God back into his place? When will you stop following the ways of the world and get back into right standing with God? No, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it does mean that you're trying. It does mean that you're striving. It does mean that you're doing what God says do. But there is a remnant of people in the earth who come to church week after week and gonna bust hell wide open. My daddy taught me a long time ago, don't go to hell through the church. Every time you wake up in the morning, it's another chance. Every time you open your eyes to see the dawning of a brand new day, it's another chance to get this thing called life right. Why you gonna waste every opportunity to turn that thing around? Do I have any witnesses here? And can I tell you something? I know this ain't youth day, this past anniversary, but before you put a Junebug and Ray Ray on a pedestal and say what you ought to do because I taught you, I need some of my seasoned folk to understand that our younger generation is going to follow by example, not what you say. Oh, I can't hear nothing. I can't hear nothing because we want our younger generation to know what's right and to do what's right. But it makes no difference if you say one thing and then you live something totally different. Do I have any witnesses here? We have to incline our ears in such a way that will mobilize everybody to come into a concrete understanding that if I don't have the Savior, I have nothing. Told my church a few weeks ago, and I'll tell you today, hey, a lot of us got perfect attendance in church, but we got bad citizenship with God. We'll show up, but we just as dry, just as hellish, just as cantankerous. And God is saying, can I turn or change your mind?
I don't care how long you've been doing something. If God can change you, so can you. And catch it. It really ain't God changing. It's really us catching up with what he's already said. He says, I am God. I never change. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And every day of our lives, the reason why the church is changing so much, because our thought processes are evolutionizing. Do I have any witnesses here? And so the same thing I understood at the age of 20, at the age of 30, I got a different perspective. But it's because I learned how to study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. Some of the rules and regulation that we came up in church with, it ain't nowhere in the Bible. Y'all might as well say amen. It's enough to follow in the book without you coming with your own opinion.
All right.
He petitions us, Pastor, we got to get back into right place and to right state. Is there anybody who wants to be used by God, but God can't use you when you're allowing everybody else to do it? Do I have any witnesses here? He says, rent your heart and not your clothes. See, a lot of us, we look like we got good religion, but our hearts are far from it. Do I have any witnesses here? Back in those days when you were sorrowful and repented, it said you had to rent your clothes. You had to tear your clothes and get into sackcloth and ashes. Some of us look like we're sorry. Yeah, you look it, but you're really not. True change is not in how you look, it's in how you behave. Did I hear somebody talk to me? True change is not in what you say, but in what you do. Praise the Lord. I said, and I gotta go. But a three-piece suit, a robe don't make me a preacher. Do I have any? I may look like one, but what I have on the inside is what makes me a preacher. Do I have any witnesses here? And it ain't because somebody tell you, you can look like a preacher and be a demon. All right, I gotta go. Y'all don't like that kind of talk? And we follow a whole lot of lookalikes. But God is petitioning us that, church, we got to go from looking to being and becoming. Do I have any witnesses here? Catch this. There are consequences to Christless character and cantankerous conduct. And whereas God could have continued with destruction, he says, pay attention. Look at what's going on. I'll stop it if you stop it. And if you stop it with the right attitude and understand that I'm the anchor that holds you down. Do I have any witnesses here? Got to get to a point where we heed God's petition that he allows us to have another chance to get life right. But after we see the problem, after we see the petition, we lastly see a promise. The promise says, can I read verse number 18? It says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. Do you know that God will use your enemies to keep you in check? And then after you heed the lesson, he'll put them back in check. God uses your enemy not to destroy you, but to warn you. God uses our enemies not to have rule over us, but so that we can think about the things that we've done. And when we ultimately come back into our minds and walk in the newness of life, he'll deal with the very people that got you where you are in the first place. Do I have any witnesses here? He only needs Trump for a little while. Do I have any witnesses here? He wants to know, will Trump be bad enough to drive you to do what I called you to do? Where's the church now? Do I have any witnesses here? See, oftentimes we dismiss ourselves even from places like political arenas because we don't want to do what thus saith the Lord. Do I have any witnesses here? So while we putting Trump on a pedestal, hold it. God is calling for his church to stand and be courageous and call from the north, south, east, and west who will stand in the evil day. Am I making sense? Why you complaining? When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time we went to the altar about the president in the White House? Because we understand that it ain't the White House that got all the problems. Our houses got them too. Do I have any witnesses here? But he says, I'll get you back to where you need to be. There's a promise of restoration. God promises to deliver them from their enemies. Can I hear the key of E flat, please? He promises to have our backs as long as we turn back toward him. For the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I came to tell somebody at Macedonia Baptist Church, if we're going to reclaim our time, we gotta make sure that we got something to reclaim in the first place. While you were dead in your trespasses and sin, yes sir, did you ever turn your heart back toward the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you do, wherever you want me to go, I'll go there. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it, because I want to reclaim my time. I'm tired of dealing with all of this bad stuff. I'm tired of going through. I'm sick of being tired, and I'm tired of being sick, but I understand that I go through not just because of what the enemy has done, but I go through in order to have my mind make a turn. And that's a word for somebody in the house today. For 40 years I can hear the man of God preaching what thus saith the Lord, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. I can hear the man of God saying, turn from your wicked ways. Yes, sir. I can hear the man of God speaking to dry bones, telling the dry bones to live, because one day Jesus is coming back. Do I have any witnesses here? One day Jesus is going to crack the sky. Yes, sir. And the Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are left will come up. But I got a question
for somebody. Will you be there? Everybody that cries out, Lord, Lord, will not be there. For the Bible says, yeah, people complain. I cast out demons in your name. I did this and I did that in your name. But they did it with the wrong heart and they did it with the wrong attitude. So God says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not, but I've been sent here. And the man of God for 40 long years been sent here to tell the story. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was sent here to tell the story. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, that ain't about your sickness. That ain't about your diabetes. But the Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, he can heal your high blood pressure. But if there were no sin, there wouldn't be no high blood pressure. He ain't just trying to get to your blood. He's trying to get to your soul. Do I have any witnesses here? On the hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross. Jesus was on that cross. They hung him high, stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me he died. They laid him in a tomb 3 days and 3 nights, but
we hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.